Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." And again, the words from Isaiah chapter 9. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we give you thanks that the angels declared the truth of who you are to Mary and to Joseph, and even back in Isaiah, inspired by your Holy Spirit, he was able to proclaim your name, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Tonight we're here, Lord, because we believe that unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the Son of God. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. What's in a name? How many of you have had either your first name or your last name mispronounced? A few of you? I've had mine misspelled so many different ways, this would just be a whole funny thing to just talk about that. What's in a name? Names matter. I looked all over for this movie that I remember, and I couldn't find the clip, but I wanted to share with you the clip where this person continued to mispronounce the name of his assistant. Every time he would call her, he would give her a different name. And I thought, how disrespectful, how unfortunate, how terrible that this person obviously didn't care enough. Now, if you're poor with names like me, it's mostly due to a memory problem. But this guy only had one assistant, and he continued to do the same mistake. We hear those words in Isaiah chapter 9, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." These words were written by the prophet Isaiah more than 700 years before the birth of Jesus. As far as I'm concerned, that simple fact alone is sufficient proof that the Bible is God's word. Some people try to claim that the Old Testament prophecies are actually just stories written after the events to make it seem like God had revealed it beforehand. While I totally reject this idea, it simply doesn't arise in relation to this verse. 700 years? This is no fabrication. This is the revealed word of God spoken through Isaiah. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Some people even go as far as to try to claim that these words were merely predicting the birth of another one of Israel's kings. A good king to replace the evil Ahaz, who reigned at the time. But as I will argue in a moment, this is absolute nonsense. It is right that these words are read at Christmas because they were clearly fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ, God's one and only Son. No one in the history of the world comes even close to being worthy of the name given in this verse. I think about this name. I've heard it so many times in different music, in different hymns, in different chorals. And every time I hear it, I just think to myself, it's amazing that in 8 words, the prophet Isaiah was able to establish what the ministry of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, would look like. In Hebrew, there are 8 words in this name, arranged in pairs. In each pair, there is one word that speaks of something divine, something out there, something supernatural about the character of this son who was to be given. And the other word is more functional, speaking of what this person would do and what his role would be. I asked for a slide that would have all 8 names on it, and you'll notice that I asked for the ones in bold to be the ones that I would call the supernatural or out there parts of the name, the divine part. And the other part that's in smaller letters are the roles of this son, what he would do, who he would be. Let's look at these words for a moment. The first word, the one that's bold there, is wonderful. The Hebrew word for wonderful is pele, or pala, depending how you pronounce it. Pele is used in Psalm 78, verse 12, which says that God did wonders in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt. It means that there that God is a doer of miracles, of marvelous, wonderful things that are almost beyond understanding and are certainly beyond mere human ability. It is also used in Judges 13, verse 18, where it does mean incomprehensible or beyond understanding. In that verse, it is talking about God. Because other parts of the Bible say that God is Pele, is wonderful, there is no doubt that when Isaiah calls this promised child Pele, he means to say that he was divine, that this would be God himself coming in this form of a child. In fact, the coming of the child would be the greatest wonder of them all, God's greatest act of salvation. The next word is counselor. What do you think of this word counselor? This is a role. This is a role that a human being might take. In Isaiah 11, verse 2, it says, speaking of the new king that would arise from the stump of Jesse, King David's father, says that the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the spirit of counsel and of power. Micah 4, verse 9, another verse that links counselor with the king. Counsel is that perfect wisdom that enables the king to make right decisions in leading the people. It refers to perfect understanding of the will of God, knowing exactly what is right and what God's purposes are. Kings have around them a team of counselors, advising them about different aspects of their kingdom. But the wonderful counselor of Israel, of Isaiah's prophecy, has no need of a team of advisors. He is able in himself to know what is right and to make right decisions without resort to a second opinion. Later on in his book, Isaiah explicitly says that these are characteristics of God himself. Isaiah 28, verse 29 says, all this comes from the Lord Almighty, wonderful in counsel, and magnificent in wisdom. So to call the promised child wonderful counselor is a clear statement of deity, that this child is God. He is the perfect king and his people for his people, because he is not merely another human king, but a wonder of a king. Perfect in wisdom and knowledge, able to lead and guide his people with perfect justice and truth. I'd also like to remind you that in John chapter 14 and 15, the Holy Spirit is referred to as a counselor. The next word is mighty. And this word is interesting because it's hard to say. It's Gabor. Can you say that without spitting on people? I'm up here, so it's safe. Gabor. Gabor is the word that is defined as mighty. Literally, the root word used here means hero. A doer of great things, of mighty acts done for someone else that they couldn't do for themselves. In the Bible, think of Moses leading the people out of Egypt, or Joshua leading them against Jericho into the promised land, or young David who took on Goliath, who had dominated over the armies of King Saul for so long. Slaying that giant was a mighty act, a heroic act of salvation for the people of that time. The promised child, says Isaiah, will be mighty. God. The fourth word is God. And we've heard God, for example, in words like El Shaddai, which is God Almighty. El is the simplest word for God in Hebrew. It is the word that's used to refer to the one true God, the Creator, the Supreme Being. It is used in conjunction with other words to give God a variety of more specific names, such as El Shaddai or God Almighty. It is never used of a man. In fact, it is often used as the opposite to the man, to the word man. Example, God is not a man. Here it is combined with the word Gabor, hero. In giving the child this name, Isaiah is describing him as a hero who is far more of a hero than Moses or Joshua or David. He is calling him a divine hero, a God who does heroic acts. This is the God of salvation. Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 21, when talking of Israel returning from captivity in Babylon, a remnant will return to the mighty God. Think of Christ healing the blind, the lame, the sick. Think of Christ calling Lazarus from the tomb. Think of Christ rising triumphantly from the grave, victorious over sin and death. Is there a greater hero than the Lord Jesus Christ? He is El Gabor, the mighty God. The next word is everlasting. And we often think of everlasting as forever and ever, amen. But in actual fact, the word everlasting means he had no beginning or end. The word speaks of a God who lives forever. He inhabits eternity. He's not caught up in or restricted by time as we are. Therefore, he does not change. He does not get older or slower or frail, nor does he need to mature or grow or learn. He is that way. He is forever. Isaiah says the promised child is everlasting. Think of how astounding that statement really is. A child born into the world is yet called everlasting. This child has not come into existence when he is born, for he is everlasting, no ending, no beginning. Could Isaiah say any more plainly that this child is God incarnate, God become a child? The next word is Father. We think of the Father as, in our understanding, as compassionate, loving, caring, protective, guiding, supporting, encouraging. Throughout the Bible, God is called Father. In Psalm 101 or 103, verse 13, as the Father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. In Isaiah 63, 16, it says, "You, O Lord, are our Father, our Redeemer from of old is your name." Isaiah's prophecy boldly links these two names in relation to the promised child, saying that he is forever a father like that to his people. He is the everlasting Father. And then the last phrase, which has two words, Prince of Peace. What a magnificent and emphatic exclamation mark, this name in Isaiah's prophecy. Remember that it was spoken to a people who were at war and whose king was not handling the situation well. The people of God were under threat, both from enemy nations and also the ungodliness of their own leader. That is why at the end of Isaiah 8, God's people at the time are said to see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom. To them is the promise that they will see a great light, that their warfare will end because unto us a child is born, and his name will be Prince of Peace. He is Prince of Peace because his kingdom will be one of peace. It won't be established by fighting a war, but by bringing peace. It won't be maintained by keeping an army to prevent an enemy's attacking, but will be a kingdom that he upholds in peace. Angels proclaimed in the song that I read before from Luke chapter 2 that his kingdom is one of peace. What did Jesus say to Pilate? In John 18, 36, he said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest. My kingdom is from another place. He is the Prince of Peace. Because the cause of war, human sinfulness, and rebellion against God will be dealt with. Later in Isaiah, we read about one who will suffer for the sins of God's people, who will be crushed because our wrongdoing is laid upon him, who will be punished in our place. The end result of this will be our peace. When we are made right with God through putting our faith in Jesus Christ, we have peace, a peace that passes all understanding. Isaiah, whose own name means the Lord saves, shares the truth of his greatness, his everlasting reign, and the power of the zeal of the Lord that will accomplish this through our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Please go to the next slide. He is the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah. He is, as the angel told Joseph in our gospel, Jesus, Yeshua, which is the Hebrew name for Jesus, the Lord, which means the Lord saves. He will save his people from our sins. The angel says that this will fulfill Isaiah 7:14, that he is Emmanuel, God with us. I read this sermon, which I never do tonight. You probably already noticed it's hard for me to read things. But I read it because these four words, the ones that speak of the divine, and the four words, the ones that talk about the roles, are needed when times are dark and when people feel like there is no hope. These names, these eight simple words, spoke volumes to the people 700 years before Christ. And they're designed and given to us to speak volumes to us here tonight, 2,700 years later. That our God is not just Jesus, the one who comes to save us from our sins, but he is the Christ, the Messiah, the one who was promised. My friends, the people who originally heard this message were encouraged to rejoice before God like people about to reap a great harvest. The announcement 2,700 years ago that Christmas would one day arrive was a great cause for celebration. We too can celebrate with them. We too can say, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And we too can know him by this fourfold name: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Please go to the last slide. What's in a name? Be in no doubt that this Christmas, this Christmas, that the child will remember is nothing less than God himself. Come to earth as a human baby in order to fulfill these and other great promises. That is why it is important for us to ask and explain, what is in a name? That's why happy holidays just won't cut it. That's why we're here to celebrate Christmas. Because we know that unto us a child has been born. Unto us a son has been given. I want to leave you something as a present tonight. I don't know if I did justice on the sermon, because like I said, I wrote it down because I wanted to make sure I didn't miss anything, because there's so much in each one of these names. And I could easily have just told you, you know, these are the four names, there you go. But I wanted to be very clear that these are not a mistake. The Holy Spirit gave these names to Isaiah, and they're loaded. And they're so important. And I don't know how you remember things, but I remember having to memorize this verse, verse 6 and 7 in Hebrew class. And I remember that it was so difficult, but one of the ways I got through it was the words in Handel's Messiah. How many of you have gone to Handel's Messiah? There's a portion of Handel's Messiah that says, for unto us a son is given, unto us. Yeah, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. So I'm going to close by letting you hear that portion of Handel's Messiah as a way for you, maybe, hopefully, to remember how loaded these words truly are.